Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning to you on a Thursday. This has been a strange week for a lot of reasons. Just strange emotions, strange flow to it. Sometimes no flow at all. And here we are. It's a Thursday morning and we're heading into what will be an extended weekend, of course, with Memorial Day happening on Monday. And as I said earlier, I'm still blown away by the fact that it's the last weekend in May and that we're about to hit the month of June and that this is the unofficial start to summer. Don't know how we got here. I just know the spring has been a blur. And I've said to producer James more than once, I will be okay when we are done with the NBA and the NHL. I'll be all right to miss it for a few months until it returns again, only because it requires a lot. I mean, it really does. And these championship runs, they're all consuming. They're all in. We got a few months until football begins, but you want to talk about all consuming football. Between football and my dog, my life is completely accounted for it. They run my life. And so I'm okay with a good, long, slow summer, but we're not quite there yet. We still have an NBA Finals and, of course, the Final Four and then the Stanley Cup Final, the Stanley Cup Championship, the Stanley Cup Final Round to go. But they're dwindling, right? We're going to get days now where we only have one hockey game or we maybe have no. Actually, we're coming up on that because basketball, whenever we finish these West and East finals, we'll have a hiatus. Now, it could be longer if, say, the Warriors wrap up tonight and then the Celtics are able to take care of business on Friday. The finals don't start until next Tuesday in the NBA. So there will be a couple of days in which they're quiet and it's dark in the buildup. Not going to be nearly as long this year. Remember in the past, there were times where it was like over a week that we were sitting around waiting for the NBA Finals to start. And they really did lose a lot of their momentum. But they are set to start actually a week from today on Thursday, June 2nd. The Celtics are approaching their first NBA Finals since 2010. I'm not telling you the series is over unless the Miami Heat cannot magically make their offense reappear or magically pull their offense out of a hat because it is gone. Poof. Some of these numbers from the Heat, especially the starters, the backcourt, they're abysmal, miserable, and historic, actually. I keep seeing things on NBA Twitter and on various stat services like Elias. This is the worst shooting performance ever, going back to 1970 when they started keeping track of these kinds of things. I mean, it's bad. And it's not just Tyler Hero being unable to play. Oh, there was a Duncan Robinson sighting on Wednesday night. What? This was a game that did not feature fantastic offense for either team in the first half. In fact, if you wanted to go back and watch the game, I'd recommend just picking it up at halftime. It was a close game. And you remember, I was complaining about these games being blowouts and so lopsided, first for the Heat, then for the Celtics, then for the Heat, then for the Celtics. That wasn't the case in game number 5. At least it was close. The Celtics, though, in the second half found another gear, and the Heat simply did not, could not, aren't able to, have lost the ability to generate enough offense to keep up. Settling for threes isn't going to do it. No basketball coach ever will tell you when the shots aren't dropping from the outside, well, forget all about your other options. No, we have seen the Heat get aggressive, try to work inside the paint, and then in the case of Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, head to the free throw line. How do you get your butt on the free throw line? Generally, the team that's more aggressive ends up with more free throws. But that's not what they did. They just kept chucking up threes, and it was rough. 7 of 45 from beyond the arc. Yes, the Celtics deserve a ton of credit for making life difficult. They certainly have contributed to the Miami offense and its disappearing act. But it's not just them. And the injuries are a part of it too, but at least the Heat aren't making any excuses. So in the second half, as I say, Celtics were able to find another gear. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who themselves couldn't hit anything in the first half, they got comfortable. In fact, Tatum finished just one assist shy of a triple-double. Brown, I think, had 17 of his 25 in the second half. Either way, both those guys clicked into superstar gear. And they were able to turn offense or defense into offense. Al Horford had a really strong game, even as Marcus Smart didn't have a lot of points and had foul trouble. He certainly does wreak havoc on the court as a defensive player when he's out there. So a 24-2 run in the second half. Celtics were able to pull away, and now just one win shy, as I say, of their first NBA Finals going back to 2010.
Jaylen Brown inside the paint.
Oh!
Flies in! Right hand slam! He sailed right by Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. And as soon as the Heat had a little glimpse of hope, a little ray of sunshine, Jaylen Brown made it dark.
Ooh, the fireman just came in and put it out.
Tatum throws it to nobody. Got deflected. Smart saves it. Jaylen Brown splits two men, attacks the paint, goes to the right hand and scores off the window. Timeout, Eric Spoelstra. The entire building here wore white tonight. The white t-shirts creating the white out. But now all Eric Spoelstra can do is wave the white towel.
So the dramatics and the theatrics of Sean Grandy there with Cedric Maxwell on Celtics radio. He's so good at that. But I got to say my favorite part of this broadcast, because this was the one I was listening to as I was getting ready for work and then driving in. There was this moment in the third quarter, really underscores the Heat offensive struggles, when poor Victor Oladipo, now I have been his biggest cheerleader so far in these playoffs for him to be able to get back out there and play and even start. And he had 23 points in their last game, but he airballed. And I mean, nowhere close airballs, not just off the rim airball, as he just threw up some boulders, airballed them from 3-point land. And it was in the midst of just some terrible offense by both teams. And Cedric Maxwell, who's a 2-time champion himself with Boston, underneath Grandy's play-by-play, you could hear him mutter, "What kind of basketball is this?" He's so funny. But come on, that's a question a lot of people were asking last night. The first 2.5 quarters, holy cow, what are we watching? What kind of basketball is this? So, yeah, I laughed out loud. That provided me some comedic relief. The Celtics, as I say, they found some offense. They got what they needed. But, man, it was a bit of a drastic turnaround there in the second half, and everybody knows it.
We gave them a lot more shots than we had in the first half, and we was only down by 5. So we knew if we took care of it, and we would get some open opportunities and knock them down. So just continue to play basketball, be aggressive. That's why basketball is 48 minutes. The game opened up for me in the second half. I didn't want to get down. I didn't want to look into the past, think that this game was over. My team needed me to come out and respond. First half, we threw it away. Come out, play basketball in the second half.
We had too many turnovers. We didn't like how we were playing, and we were still only down five. And basically just talked about how much does it mean. You know, we know all the plays and things like that, but saw the 50-50 balls and hustle plays and things like that, you know, about toughness and effort. So that's all we talked about was, you know, playing better, taking care of the ball, and just competing because we know what's on the line.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum finished with a combined 47. Again, most of their damage being done in the second half. So now you've got game six in Boston on Friday night. And of course, it's not going to be easy. As we've seen so far in these playoffs, and we'll talk about this with the St. Louis Blues because they were on the ropes last night. I do love that boxing analogy. They were on the ropes against the Avalanche. And not just that, but they were about to pull the plug on their life support. I mean, they were getting ready to flatline down 3-0 in this game in Denver. And they fought back. We saw it with the Dallas Mavericks. So against the Warriors facing a sweep, the embarrassment of that, clinging to their last hopes of getting to the NBA Finals, they play their best game that we'd seen since Game 7 against the Phoenix Suns. When you are down to your last out, so to speak, or you're clinging to your last shreds of hope, generally as human beings, our adrenaline kicks in, the fight or flight instinct. Well, we see these teams, and these are some of the best teams in their respective leagues. Generally, they fight. And so the Miami Heat may do that. They may show us a little more fight. But sometimes fight doesn't necessarily lead to better offense. Regardless, though, you can't take game six lightly.
Great to be up 3-2. Obviously, going back home, you don't want to be down to elimination game. And to have it on our home court is an advantage. But they beat us there already, so we have to come out with the same urgency after these last two wins, trying to put it away.
You got to enjoy this. You do. You know, every time you're going to have, if you want to break through and punch a ticket to the finals, you're going to have to do some ridiculously tough stuff. And getting on to Boston and figuring that out collectively, you know, those are the emotions and those breakthroughs that you have that you remember the rest of your life.
I do appreciate that perspective from one Eric Spoelstra. And before that, Ime Udoka. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Be careful what you wish for. Got a close game for a while, but I don't know if it was aesthetically pleasing. This series, battered, bruised, bloodied. They are a mess. Right now, it feels like the Miami Heat are limping to the finish line. Maybe collectively, they only have one good leg. Jimmy Butler, he was 4 of 18 in last night's game, only at 13 points. And this is a guy that was taking no prisoners in the early part of the playoffs. So he's definitely not right. Kyle Lowry, as much as he's back on the court, he was effective in stretches when he first returned, but he can't move. He's not the same Kyle Lowry that we saw with this team earlier in the year. This is not championship Kyle Lowry. This is a Kyle Lowry who's scuffling. Last night, no points, no assists, no steals, one rebound, and three turnovers. That was Kyle Lowry. It's not like he was only on the court for a couple of minutes. He's the starting backcourt. They need more from him, but he's just not able to provide right now. 25 minutes, and all he manages is a rebound and three turnovers. Oh, and five fouls. My gosh. The backcourt for the Heat, the starting guards for the Heat. This is the historic part. In the last two games, they've taken 28 total shots. Take a wild guess how many they've hit. One for 28. That's the Heat starting guards. And in last night's game, Max Strus and Kyle Lowry, a combined over 15 from the floor. Holy cow. As I say, they're banged up. Now, this would be normally the space where Jimmy Butler would step in and take over, but keeps getting asked about his knee.
Man, honestly, it doesn't matter. If I'm out there, I gotta do better. I gotta find a way to help us win, and I haven't been doing that. I'm fine. My knee is okay. I just gotta do better. It's no excuse.
We're not making excuses for anything. We're not deflecting anything. We're not making excuses for it. We lost the game today. We had a tough loss in Boston. We're still alive. We got an opportunity to play in front of a great crowd. And an opportunity, you know, to make a memory that you'll remember for a long time. That's all we're thinking about right now.
Eric Spoelstra, I think at times gets overlooked as not only one of the longest tenured coaches in the NBA, but one of the most successful and one of the most effective. That brain trust with Pat Riley and Spoel is, I mean, it's been really impressive to see them through multiple iterations of this Miami Heat team, going back to, of course, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. And that brings me full circle back to the Celtics. Since their last NBA Finals in 2010, they've been eliminated four times at this point. So at this stage in the playoffs, they've gotten to the East Finals four different times since they were last in the championship round. Do you remember who they were playing? Either one of you? Carlos is with us tonight. Producer James, do you remember who they were playing in 2010?
2010, wow.
Yes. Do you remember how they were in the finals in 2008 and again in 2010 against the... There are people right now who are yelling at the radio, yelling at the radio. But I just want to know if either one of you guys could remember it. They're in there conferring. They're conferring with one another. You got it? Ready? No?
I'm just trying to think. I don't know why I can't think of 2010.
It's all right.
My head keeps going to Cavaliers, but obviously it's not the Cavaliers at that time yet.
No.
Anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'll just take one stab at it. I'll go with the Wizards.
The Wizards?
Gilbert Arenas, maybe he was. Oh, right. In the finals.
That's a no. The Lakers. They played the Lakers in 2010. Anyway, so they last played in the NBA Finals in 10. They've reached the East Finals four different times and every single time lost to a LeBron James team. So twice to the Heat and twice to the Cavaliers. So it may feel like the Celtics have been to the NBA Finals more recently, but they actually haven't. And certainly not with Ime Udoka. So it's pretty impressive what he's done in his first year as the head coach of the Boston Celtics. But the Heat, not done yet. They just got to find some offense. Just pull the rabbit back out of the hat, for heaven's sakes. But what we say, backs against the wall. Woo! The St. Louis Blues, let's hope they didn't save their best for last, but in game number 5, they saved their best until the very end. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
McKinnon with two goals. McKinnon in between the circles.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
McKinnon, he scores! Oh my goodness gracious me! Nathan McKinnon, throw the chapeau! The Mac Attack is back with a goal and a play that you will hear and see over and over and over and over!
Far corner to Thomas, out high to Perron, now to Buchnevich, to Tarasenko. He shoots, they score! They've tied it up! It's the bailout at Ball Arena! The Blues have tied it again! 4-4 the score! 56 seconds to go! And Robert Thomas has pulled the Blues out!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Man, this was wild. For a while, it looked like the Avalanche were going to bury the St. Louis Blues without a whole lot of trouble in Denver in game number 5. They were up 3-0 and then still up 3-1 at the end of the second period. About halfway through the third period, Robert Thomas is able to bring the Blues within a goal, and then all hell, proverbially, breaks loose in Denver. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. With about 5 minutes to go in the third period, so 5 minutes to go in regulation, Justin Falk is able to take advantage of a lot of bodies in front of Darcy Kemper in the Avalanche net, and he's able to stuff home the game-tying goal. 5 minutes to go in the third period, and we're tied at 3. But not even 2 minutes later, and now it's crunch time, right? We're getting close. You hear the call with Connor McGahee on Avs Radio. Nathan McKinnon, coast-to-coast, if you will, to use a basketball analogy, end-to-end. He skates through a bunch of Blues bodies. They might as well have been cutouts. They were just hanging out, standing there. He weaves his way through all these Blues bodies. Couple of nifty moves, some misdirection, and then boom. Fires home the puck past Ville Husso. Remember, he's in for Jordan Binnington. So that's with under 3 minutes to go in regulation. Under a minute remaining. You hear the tie. Once again, the 4-4 tie with Chris Kerber on Blues Radio. Robert Thomas. So his second goal of the third, his second goal forces overtime. Oh, would you like to know what happened in sudden death? Death is sudden in Denver.
Bozak behind the net. It was Tyler Bozak that got an assist on the Pat Maroon goal 2-3 years ago. He scores! Tyler Bozak in overtime! You can bring out the Zamboni! The St. Louis Blues are coming home, and they're bringing the Avalanche with them. Bozak wins it for the Blues, 5-4, 3:38 into overtime.
Obviously feels great. just a resilient group of guys got down and didn't want the season to be over, and fought hard, got some big goals late, and was lucky enough to be on the end of the one in overtime. But, yeah, it was awesome. We're excited for next game.
I mean, this is incredible. If this was the only, say, 7 or 8 minutes, maybe even 10 minutes that you watched of the Stanley Cup postseason, Now, to that end, actually, I need to stick up for producer James because he just used the word idiot when he was talking to me in the last commercial break. I didn't realize that James wasn't listening. I mean, he's
working
busy
on a piece of audio.
Right, okay, yeah. Got it. Pipe down. I'm trying to defend you here. So he was doing something else as a producer. He was producing a piece of audio, and I didn't realize behind his computer and the double-pane glass that he wasn't staring intently and focusing on what I was saying. So when I asked him who the Celtics played in the 2010 NBA Finals, he somehow thought I was talking about the Eastern Conference Finals in 2010, which is why he was guessing Eastern Conference teams. Did I get that right?
That is what happened.
Okay. You're not an idiot. I, however, am an idiot and I own it, but not in the podcast.
Fair.
You can take your odd answer out of the podcast too if you would like.
No, I'll leave it.
We take out all our mistakes, the podcast will be cut in half.
Like 5 minutes.
Hey.
Jokes.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So, yes, back to Tyler Bozak in all of his glory. Kind of neat because he only played 7 minutes. Well, he only had 7 minutes of ice time. It sounds weird to say that about hockey. He only had 7 minutes. So, yes, if these were just the 7 minutes that you watched of the entire Stanley Cup postseason, you're a casual fan, you're flipping through channels, the Celtics game was annoying, Celtics Heat game was annoying you because nobody could hit the broads out of a barn. Well, if that was the case and you started watching this particular stretch of hockey, I mean, you would be stuck. And you would be sucked in because it was extremely dramatic. The Blues rally from 3-0 to 3-3, then from 4-3 to 4-4, and then ultimately win. And this is a team that has championship heart and mettle, and this is what we're talking about. When you push a team to the brink, it's fight or flight, baby. And the Blues, they definitely know how to fight. As for Nathan MacKinnon, okay, his highlight reel hat trick for a second there looked as though it might propel the Avalanche to the conference finals. It did not do that, but they are not giving up on all of their hopes and dreams.
You know, just talk, get one goal, you know. And
should make our team a little harder, a little more grittier in these situations. Can't win every series in 4 and 5. You know, they have a great team, and we're excited to go have a huge challenge in St. Louis and try to close out a series.
He says it made us a little harder, a little more grittier. I like that. I mean, we all need to be harder and more grittier. Certainly in the Stanley Cup playoffs, if you're not harder and grittier, well, then you're not going to survive very long. So neat the way the series has taken a turn. I do want this one to go seven because I love the raucous atmospheres we're getting in both St. Louis and Colorado, St. Louis and Denver. But I think it's interesting too, and I was saying this earlier, the pressure now starts to ratchet up a little bit for the Avalanche because they were up 3-1. They lost in their own building. So now they go into St. Louis where it's hostile territory and where we know the Blues have had success. They're once again going to give it their all. But this thought, it's almost like a thought bubble in a cartoon. What if we lose game 6? What if we don't take care of business in game 6? And now the Blues have won back-to-back and they're playing with house money, baby, because they've got no pressure. If we fail in a game 7, and all bets are off in a game 7. So those thoughts start to creep in because it's human nature and the pressure becomes infinitely heavier on the shoulders of the Avalanche. Now, think about the Warriors and Mavericks. No team has ever come back from an 0-3 deficit in an NBA playoff series. Mavericks take care of business in game number 4. I like the way they came out. Again, fight or flight. All about it. Live to fight another day. Oh, you're contractually obligated. I heard Erica Herskowitz say it. To use the phrase, stave off elimination. Have you ever heard the word, can we...
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game.
That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can you let Erica join us? Erica, good morning. How are
good
you?
Good morning. Good morning. It's very sportscastery to use words like stave off elimination or with their backs against the wall,
yes,
or
yes.
Do or die, or, you know, all of those are sort of on the list of you must use
right,
sportscastery obligated phrases.
Phrases, yes. Right. So here's my question, because you and I are both wordsmiths. I'm pretty sure I never use the word stave unless it's about staving off elimination in a playoff series. In your walk of life, any other, like, family, have you ever taught your kids the words? Well, they're too old now, but kids the word stave. Do you ever use the word stave in any other context?
Never. There's absolutely no reason to use the word stave ever, except when talking about being eliminated from a playoff series.
What if we're talking about, like, a crime drama and it's about, someone who faces elimination, just, you know, in elimination from the TV series? Or can you stave off elimination if you're a character on a TV show?
I was going to get fired, but I staved off my firing. I don't know. I mean, it's a really ridiculous word.
It sounds awkward in any other context, actually.
And we're such sheep too, because I don't know who first started saying it, but, like, we all say it, and none of us use it in our regular lives. So
yeah. This is our fake lives. Those are our other lives.
Exactly.
Superhero lives. And we'll get to you one second, Erica. Thank you. The idea though is if the Warriors don't take care of business in Game 5, like the Avalanche failed to take care of their business in Game Number 5, and the Blues staved off elimination, if the Mavericks do it again and stave off elimination, then that's two in a row. And they go back to Dallas for Game Number 6, where rut-row, the big bad pressure starts to descend a little bit. It sits heavy on you. It can cause you to get a little nervous. Now, the good thing about the Warriors is that they've seen and done it all. I mean, they faced elimination and staved it off in a variety of settings over the course of the last eight years. So you would expect that they're not quite as susceptible to pressure. I wouldn't say impervious, but not quite as susceptible. All these SAT words, I got to make up for the miscue that we shall not revisit from last half hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm trying to convince you that I actually do have a healthy vocabulary and I don't just say stupid stuff all the time. Here's our latest sports update. She's staved off firing.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Mike just came from a nightmare on the plane. Like,
yes, and they say they ain't gonna pick up charges.
Yeah, so you good. Yes,
yeah, like, yeah, like, yeah.
You survived.
Yeah.
Please with me, man.
You kept your poise for a long time.
Yeah. And I'm just saying, this guy don't know. I love, I shouldn't even be taking public planes. But my wife gets mad that I take public, but what am I doing my friend? What, I guess, he's supposed to watch me, a bodyguard and a yes, and what am I doing on a plane? It triggers me.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Even talking about public planes triggers Mike Tyson. That's part of the Hot Boxing podcast with Mike Tyson. And he's speaking out for the first time since he got into that altercation and punched a guy on an airplane. And he says, what am I doing taking public planes? It sounds too much like public bathrooms. It's not right.
I think it's called commercial, right?
Yeah, commercial airlines, commercial flights. But I feel like such a minion now, a plebe, because I take public planes. Public planes.
It's the first time I've heard it put like that, I gotta say.
Like a public fountain, public water fountain. Anyway, he goes on to talk about how this guy was provoking him and threw a water bottle at him, and you hear him gloating. It's just a little snippet. You can recognize Mike Tyson's voice pretty clearly. And that, my friends, leads me to this. Five-time world champion Gervonta Tank Davis defends his WBA lightweight title against number one ranked contender Rolando Romero. It's live on pay-per-view Saturday night, May 28th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. So go to showtime.com to order now. The only two boxing stories we'll do on the show all week long. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Had a chance to catch up with one of our favorite hoops, we'll call him color analyst, Zach Harper, formerly of CBS, now with The Athletic and SiriusXM NBA Radio, to talk about not just the Eastern Conference Finals, but the toll that it may take on the NBA Finals. And then, since he's from L.A., a little bit about the Lakers. So we'll pick it up where I asked him what shifted in the second half of Game 5 between the Celtics and the Heat.
The Celtics decided to play basketball and the Heat didn't. I think it's that simple. Like, it was such an ugly first half. And you saw it, like, I mean, it was a tale of two halves for Jason Tatum, where the first half he was just awful. And I think that shoulder's really bothering him. He looked like, you know, he looked like he was favoring it quite a bit. And he only had like 4 points on like 1 of 9 shooting in the first half. And then in the second half, it was Jason Tatum again. It was the first team All-NBAer. It was the guy who, you know, he had like, I want to say like 18 points on 6 of 11 shooting. And he had a bunch of rebounds and a bunch of assists. He got going. Jaylen Brown got going. And two of those guys getting going on any given night, Miami can usually handle that because they usually have other players stepping up. They didn't have anybody tonight. Like, you know, Bam Adebayo hit some shots once that it was a 20-point game, but he wasn't very good. Like, the Heat weren't very good, and the Celtics did enough in that second half to just completely separate themselves.
Can we talk about the disappearing Miami offense, specifically those five starters? What the heck? Considering the last game in which the five total starters combined for, what, 7 field goals? And now this game where they score even fewer points than what they had in game number 4, and this was on their own court. What the hell has happened to the Miami offense?
Yeah, I mean, last game in 2022, if Victor Oladipo comes off your bench and outscores your entire starting lineup, no offense to Vic.
That's right. Not a good thing,
right? Like, that's a sign that something really bad happened. In this game, I want to try to answer this in a way that is respectful to both sides, because I do think Miami is really banged up. Like, Kyle Lowry can barely move. Jimmy Butler has no bounce. PJ Tucker is playing on one leg. I think that matters. But I also don't want to take away from what Boston is doing. Boston's defense all season long was good. The second half of the season, it was generational. Like, generational, like, defense in a way that, like, we've rarely seen teams dominate in that way. And that is showing up. You know, Marcus Smart, for all the injuries that Miami has, Marcus Smart, he's playing on one good ankle. Robert Williams III is playing on one good knee. And they're still able to just clamp down that defensive effort from them, especially in the second half, but in throughout the whole game and really in this series. I mean, I think I saw a stat, and I'm not going to get it completely right, but it was something like the Miami Heat scored like 58 points per 100 possessions in the half court in that game. To put that into perspective, the trust the process Sixers, who were intentionally trying to lose games, scored about double that, right? Like, just like they scored about double that. And so the Heat were just, you know, they're banged up and they're trying to get through this, and it's a war of attrition. But Boston just clamped down.
Talked about this on my show, the idea that these two teams are battering and bruising each other to the point that the winner of the East, that team that moves on to the NBA Finals, it's almost like collectively is on one leg to face a Warrior squad that looks pretty darn healthy, especially if Andre Iguodala is able to get back.
Yeah, it feels like the Heat and the Celtics are just climbing up this hill, right? This very steep hill, and there's barbed wire, and there's broken glass, and there's tacks and nails and everything, right? And they're trying to do it. And meanwhile, it feels like the Warriors are on a Segway, and they just found a road that is paved that's very easy to traverse to get to the top of that hill. And they're like, what are you guys doing on, like, climbing through this hill? This is nuts. But yeah, the Warriors, I mean, I don't know that either the Heat or the Celtics will be healthy enough to handle the Warriors. The Celtics defense, I'm assuming they close this out in 6 now. The Celtics defense is special. But with the way the Warriors play, I don't know that it matches up that easily. They're going to have to be bullies. They're going to have to be super physical, and they're going to have to hope that that doesn't result in a lot of free throws for guys like Jordan Poole, guys like Klay Thompson, guys like Steph Curry, obviously. And if they can avoid putting them on the free throw line, then maybe they can compete. Maybe they can shoot with them. Maybe they can find ways to make that happen. But I also just think they got through a crazy physical Bucks series, only to get through what is likely getting through a crazy physical Heat series. And then the Warriors are going to be like, hey, chase Steph around for 7 games.
Frank Vogel was an experienced guy who had won in the playoffs, who had the respect of LeBron James, is another experienced coach who's got playoff experience, who would command the respect of LeBron James, the right fit? Or do you just say, I don't know, we start from scratch, especially if he's going to be a sacrificial lamb? That's the weird part about it.
Right, yeah. I guess it's how serious do the Lakers think they are in terms of putting together a title contending team? And you have to hire the coach before you can make the roster moves, right? And not that they won't have things lined up, but you never know what that roster is going to look like. And that will be just as important, as I said. And so it's funny because, like, I think Terry Stotts is a really good coach. I don't know that I'd want him coaching a LeBron team. I think Darvin Ham is going to be a really good coach in this league. I think he has shown, you know, a lot as an assistant. He's very highly regarded. Players love him. Players will play for him. He might be another Ime Udoka type of success story. But is that first job going to be trying to patch together the last years of LeBron's career to make it something title contending? That doesn't sound all that fruitful to me. And so I wish I had an answer for you. I don't know. That thing is so up in the air, and it is such a mess, and they have so much to clean up before I even get to, like, oh yeah, who should the coach be next year?
Just a bit of my conversation, actually it's probably half of the conversation-ish, with Zach Harper at Talk Hoops on Twitter, or you can find the rest of the conversation on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. And we did a bit of a jump cut there into the Lakers just because he's in LA, and that seems to be the biggest story outside of the series that we're tracking right now, is the fact that Terry Stotts had his second interview and that the Lakers sound like they're closing in on their next hire. But who is the right fit? Because honestly, of all the fits I keep thinking of, they're awkward. Frank Vogel won a championship there, and that didn't, well, not there, but in Orlando, and that didn't save his job or give him a whole lot of equity to keep it, even when things went horribly wrong. Though it's not a team that he put together, and it's still a bit of a mess. Russell Westbrook is still on the roster. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, who knows what happens there? They've got to find other bodies to fill out. So is Terry Stotts the right guy, or are they going to go off the beaten path? And it used to be that the Lakers were the premier job in the NBA, or one of them anyway, and it's just not the case right now. Not as long as LeBron James is there. And I don't mean that as a knock on LeBron specifically, only that they're kind of beholden to LeBron and in let's win now championship mode, which precludes you from kind of building and starting over and putting together a good foundation as long as he is there. So again, the rest of that conversation, as well as this entire show, minus the embarrassing mistake that I made, that's on the podcast. Now available on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. We will talk to you tonight to wrap up the week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.